The issues that are going back and forth between the Senate committee and the CIA, John Brennan has referred them to the appropriate authorities, and they are looking into it. The first day I came into office, I ended the practices that are subject to the investigation by the Senate committee, and have been very clear that I believe they were contrary to our values as a country. The substantive issue, which is, you know, how do we operate even when we're threatened, even when we've gone through extraordinary trauma, has to be consistent with rule of law and our values.
The president speaks about the CIA. Womp, womp, womp. When he first came into office, what happened? I told you the true story behind that. If you haven't heard it, hang on. We're going to get to it. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. How you doing, America? Raise your hand if you're doing okay. Boy, I see thousands of hands going up. That's a good thing. If you're living above ground, as my grandfather used to say, another day above ground is a good day. Not good with this whole CIA nonsense, but what the president was saying there, if you remember, this goes back to the whole waterboarding, interrogating techniques, and how could we have done that, and then attacking the CIA and finding out about secret sites and all of that that erupted that almost caused the CIA to collapse like a poorly made cheesecake sinking right in the middle. So much so that only, as the president said there, a few days into office, he had to go down. The president himself went down and made an appearance at the CIA to try to placate people so they didn't lose some of their best agents who were furious because everybody was pointing fingers at them. And suddenly they were in the soup and didn't understand why when all the legal channels had been crossed off and this was the directive. So go figure. Now it's once again the same old thing that happens in Washington. Wow, we have controversy. So the CIA, did they take materials off of the Senate committee's computer and obtain it and, you know, manipulate it, use it, when they shouldn't have been able to do that? And the CIA, I think, was kind of trying to stick their finger in the eye of the Senate for what was happening to them. This report that now they want to make public over all of the findings that this report being compiled since 2009 and just release it to the public. And they're not excited about that. So then the president comes out and you heard what he had to say there. So the bottom line is between the NSA and the CIA, we're losing lots of letters. Pretty soon, we're not going to have much of any kind of a clandestine or spy network, if you will, which I don't know that you really want to have that happen. As much as I am all about mother freedom and not having to look over my shoulder for Big Brother so I get a neck ache every second, it is that thin line, and I think they really crossed that line when he first jumped into office when it was just a flogging of the CIA, and luckily some agents were retained because you only have the best and the brightest at one level. You know, it's just like trying to get people that speak Farsi and speak some of the languages. There is a huge need for that, and there is a vacuum, which means, okay, you're trying to thwart terrorism. You need financial experts who can track and trace money forensically to be able to tie things together when you're looking for the bad guys, if you will, who are buying materials and funneling them through phony corporations or whatever. So that's important. And you need people that can speak the language. Because you got to have those people, too. So if everybody is not stepping into those careers, then you're short. And that's what was starting to happen, frankly, with the CIA. And a lot of that was because of the way they were slammed for the interrogation techniques, the actual agents themselves, not the policymakers. So that's what led to that. So the CIA so-called hacking thing will be interesting to follow this because Senator Feinstein, as Pete Hoekstra is saying, took the right steps on you know, pursuing this, on, in other words, and rattling the cages on the Senate floor. So let's see what happens now. And he said, you know, the former congressman said, as the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, accusing the CIA of spying on the committee, she had to do that. She had to do that because it was mandatory for her to do that. And Hoekstra knows about serving on that committee because he was in that, certainly in that role before for a long time in the mid-2000s, think 2004, 2005, the leaks and all that kind of stuff and, you know, what happened there. So you have interrogations, renditions, all of that, and all of this comes out. If it does come out, if it's declassified, I don't know that it will be declassified, but all of that is in this investigation. And, you know, the CIA director, John Brennan, is not a guy who has a great love for Congress. So that's part of this whole head-butting thing, if you will. All right, I always say America Tonight is about the buzz in the backyard. And as much as, you know, you're shaking your head at spy versus spy, that's not truly what people are talking about. I think what people, frankly, are talking about is this explosion in Harlem that happened because, for the grace of God, that could end up being some of you, you or me, if you look statistically at what's starting to happen with these pipelines that gas companies could, in some neighborhoods, especially where they know how old they are and what's wrong with them, they could go in and fix them. But they don't go in and fix them because it's not really profitable. So they don't, you know, there goes that thing of weighing, we know it's there, but are we really going to dig that area up? You know, aging pipelines, even the cast iron ones, not great. Because when were they set down? Depends on the neighborhood. Some of those older northeastern neighborhoods, they've been there for a very, very long time. So in Harlem, and theoretically in that neighborhood, that was the case. Those pipes have been there for a long time. And the buildings had work done in June for 120 feet of gas piping. That's what the records show. They didn't have any violations, none of that. But two buildings went down. I mean, two buildings went down. The explosion blew debris into the tracks of an elevated platform of a train. Shut down service there, but more important than that, three people were killed, nine people are missing, 75 people had to go to the hospital. Ugh, that's not a good day. That's a horrible day for that neighborhood. All right, stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-No has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Of American political history with Clinton Porter Hackney.
The terms red state and blue state have become well established in today's American political language. The color scheme of blue for Democrat and red for Republican has seemingly become fixed in our political conversation. But where did that come from? Who made that decision? Internationally, red is mostly associated with leftist, liberal, progressive parties. Think Russia, Red China, Soviet communism, Canadian and British liberals, all red. There's nothing that would compel us to go along with the rest of the world, but why not? Well, there is no one particular path that everyone agrees was the accurate evolution of our political color scheme. But though some details may be debatable, there is a general agreement about how it developed, and most everyone agrees that the presidential election of 2000 cemented the color code. Join us again for the color scheme. This is Clinton Porter Hackney at cphackney.com.
All right, you got to love that. Boy, I love those tales. And last time out, we were talking about the Jersey tomato. And was it going to be a fruit or a vegetable? They were originally saying, actually, the tomato was going to be a vegetable. It was going to be a fruit, and then they termed it a vegetable officially. And here it was about the colors, the red and the blue. And that's interesting because you think of, as he said, what red means and what blue means, and you think of other places what it means, too, as well. So thanks, Clinton. That was interesting stuff. So if I told you that there is a chance there might be more snow in the Northeast, how would you feel about that? Everybody listening in New York and listening in New Jersey and listening in some of those other spots.
Not me.
Yeah, Minnesota. So here's the scoop. Let me tell you what the scoop is. Better dress warm if you live in some of those spots. They're saying heavy snow, actually, and this is why I bring it up. So we're not talking about little snowflakes. You're looking out your window and you see a couple of snowflakes. No, even though we're close to spring, we're talking about northern Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, 18 to 24 inches as that storm passes through Thursday afternoon. So ski resorts are kind of happy about that. In the school districts in some of the areas I mentioned, kids are getting half a day, and that was heading into Thursday. So Wednesday they were getting half a day. They're saying that upstate New York got slammed blizzard on Wednesday, 18 inches of snow through Thursday, so state of emergency again. And it's been moving east from the Midwest, so 7 inches overnight in some places. Now, flights have been canceled, or flights in the Midwest were canceled, like 900, something like that. Michigan, Detroit had a bunch. And, it's been Detroit. One of the Detroit suburbs got 9 inches of snow. So Chicago, a lot of cancellations. Look for those cancellations. It's so strange, too, because in New York they just had 60 degrees, highs in the 60s. And then there's this chance of this happening. And Washington, D.C., almost 70, and then it's going to fall to, like, 35 degrees. I mean, what a winter, huh? That's all you can say. What a winter. And in some of the places that I mentioned, especially for some reason, I happen to be from there, do not live there now, and haven't for a while, but Philadelphia, South Jersey, some of the worst snow that they have seen. And they've had so many snow days that now what's happened is they're going to have to, the kids are going to be going to school well into the summer, which will be really, I think, really strange. If you think of the air conditioning, you think of having to air condition all those schools, so the districts are going to have to pay more, too, for their electricity bill. That's the kind of stuff you look at when you have budgets, right? All right, this is what Maggie Smith would call a sticky wicket for some. The Attorney General, not my favorite. I've said this before. I would have red-carded him a long time ago. He would have been gone from my administration if he was part of it. But the Attorney General, Eric Holder, is going to call for lower sentences for nonviolent drug crimes. Probably, or potentially anyway, reducing prison time by an average of a year. He's endorsing this proposal that actually came through the U.S. Sentencing Commission to look at the guidelines that judges use in coming up with sentences for defendants in federal court. So it wouldn't change violent criminals, career criminals, that kind of stuff. It wouldn't change anything for them, but it would change the life, potentially anyway, of maybe 6,500 inmates or so. Because if you look at how many federal inmates there are, if I ask you this question, just think of this for a second. It's really rhetorical, but the Bureau of Prisons, how many federal inmates do you think that we have? How many people are incarcerated in our federal prisons? How about 216,000? 216,000 federal inmates. And about 50% are there for drugs. So under this proposed idea of Holder's, or this plan, somebody convicted of having 100 grams of heroin, 500 grams of coke, 28 grams of crack cocaine, would have a maximum sentence of 63 months compared to 78 months now. So that would drop, and it would keep dropping. And that would apply to about 70% of all federal drug trafficking offenders. That's big. That would reduce a lot of time. But, somebody said to me, is that fair or foul? You know, the old saying, you do the crime, you got to be able to do the time. But, I mean, are the sentences too harsh? Which is what he's saying. As long as, and this happens, as long as they don't screw up the paperwork and somebody who should be in prison for some kind of a violent crime suddenly accidentally gets out in the middle of that, because we've seen crazier things happen. So the idea of holding lower drug sentences and clearing out some room, I think, is one of the main things in these prisons, because they're just on top of each other in the prisons. I mean, it's crazy. So this would be a way to clear that out. Not that the federal prisons, or not that the prisons would necessarily, depending on the system, would necessarily like it. It's kind of a mixed bag out there. You'd think they would, but it's not definitely the prevalent opinion across the board. Because remember, think money, 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 and, you know, what makes the prison system turn round and round. And, you know, I've answered that question. Hey, we have an update for you, and I want to make sure that I get this in because I got a couple of emails. One from Joe, who was listening, and asked, hey, what's the deal on that hockey player that you were talking about? You had the guest on, and we had somebody live not too long after it happened. There was a player for, just happened to be the Dallas Stars, Rich Peverly, who went on to the bench, and his heart stopped, basically. He had, you know, he started to feel woozy, and they took him off the bench, and he somehow had a heart problem before, and they used defibrillators, and that's what brought him back. So, I mean, he has that heart arrhythmia thing, and he's got to do, you know, minor adjustments to his medication and whatnot, but he's out after collapsing on the bench. During a game, he's out for the rest of the season, which I think is smart, because that was pretty scary to see that happen. They called the game 6-7 minutes into the game. People went home. The game was called off because neither team wanted to play. I've never seen anything like that. Never. Where both teams decide, well, we can't do this. It's after 6 minutes because it didn't look like he was going to make it. Now he's going to have some kind of a procedure done, but luckily, with all the anxiety and the stress that I think it caused people to see that, he's okay and just will not be able to play. So there's your update. Ooh, can you imagine reporting that a hockey player just 31 years old is sitting on the bench and dies on the bench? Oh, that'd be awful. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we've got fruits and nuts, shred it or bingo. If you're confused, don't worry, I'll clear it up.
Self-reliance, survival supplies, survival skills, national experts. Get it all at the only free-to-attend national event exclusively for preppers. This spring in Tulsa, it's the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo. A must-be-there event. Presented by American Living. This massive expo will include special guests. David Mays from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers. Plus, GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach via live video conference. Hear Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and members of the American Prepper Network. Along with many other leading national experts. Learn life-saving tips, CPR, how to handle crisis situations. Walk through a bomb shelter and much, much more. Two big days, April 5th and 6th at the Tulsa Expo Square in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's April 5th and 6th. Doors open at 9 a.m. with absolutely free admission. Don't miss the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, America's largest emergency preparedness event. Get your free tickets now. NPSExpo.com. That's NPSExpo.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on big pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
America Tonight, Kate Delaney. Howdy. Hello. How you doing out there? And beyond our borders, too. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net. How many of you look to what happened in Harlem and think, geez, I wonder what's under my neighborhood? Maybe you know. Now, we have a lot of listeners that are very thorough, and they probably have the complete history of their house and know exactly what's going on in their neighborhood. I cannot tell you the same for myself. I would have to go down to the courthouse and find those sorts of things out. But I'll tell you, it is frightening to think of eroding pipes and then you have a gas leak. And before you know it, unfortunately, the situation that they had in New York, what they had happen a couple of years ago in a suburb in San Francisco, had it happen in Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's kind of like the sinkhole thing, but scarier even. Because a lot of times they catch the sinkholes in time. There was the one where the guy got sucked into the sinkhole in his room, which was, I mean, just astounding in Florida. But it was his first the sinkhole deal was, oh, it's okay. We're looking at it. It's not that big of a deal. Then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, things are sinking in Florida. We got all kinds of sinkholes that are popping up, and not just in Florida. So you might want to look around for that. So now it's time for one of my favorite things that we do on the show. It's called Fruits and Nuts, Shredded or Bingo.
Bingo!
Bingo! All right, Nathan Reeder joins me for this one. Nathan, are you ready? Woo! So there's a story about this. It's sad. If you're an outdoor person and you've never seen the redwoods in California, you better hurry up and go and see them. They say that what's happening in Northern California is they're starting to chop some of them down. One, because they're making way for commuter trains in Northern California. So preservationists are hoping that maybe they can stop some of it and allow the redwoods to continue to stand, but I don't know that they're going to have great success with it. When you think of redwood, think of, incredible trees, 52 feet tall. 52 feet tall. And they have sections where you have green leaves and then you have white leaves, and they call it the albino sections, and it's just really incredible to see it. They're also determining that some of the trees have to come down for safety reasons because they say mutated, especially like the ones I described, redwoods, are too close to the track, so they would have to do that. It's a safety thing because what if it fell over? So I don't know. You've got trains coming through or these the incredible phenomenon of Northern California, of certain sections of the redwood forest. It's even in a song, to the redwood forest, this land was made for you and me. You know that song. Nathan, what do you think?
Oh, well, shoot. I think shredders everywhere have that covered already, so I'm not going to say shred it. They'll get to that eventually. I'm going to have to say bingo just because, you know, that's a real story, and that's a hard, real story. But, you know, they are some pretty cool giants that would be nice to keep around.
That's what I think. I think it'd be nice to keep them around, what you could do to keep them around. I mean, because we're talking about a 43-mile stretch that's supposed to open in 2016. So they'd have to, I think they're going to have to take down a lot of those trees. They'd have to do it. And they say to mitigate the trees' loss, the rail project would have to plant 20 redwoods elsewhere, but it'll take thousands of cuttings to try to preserve it. So it's not going to be easy to do it. That's the bottom line. It's not going to be easy to do it. So it's redwoods versus the trains. I can just say this. I'm glad I saw the redwoods. I have pictures somewhere, and I can say I saw them, and it was pretty cool, and there wasn't any trains in the background or anything. All right, here's our next one. You got fans and the law, a lawsuit. A handful of Idaho hockey fans sued a Boise arena this week, saying they were duped into thinking a $7 beer contained more brew than a $4 beer. The lawsuit says that CenturyLink Arena, home of the Idaho Steelheads, that hockey team, defrauded customers by charging $3 more for a tall, narrow cup advertised as a large that actually holds the same amount of beer as the shorter, wider cup described as a small. I wonder if they'll win that lawsuit. What do you think, Nathan?
Oh, I sure, you know, me and CenturyLink, I'm going to have to go with shred it because, you know, I mean, I hope they win. It's just so dumb and real at the same time.
It is. It's so dumb and real. I like the way you say that, because here's the thing. They're duping people. They are. They're lying. So that's worse than false advertising. Don't mess with my brew. So people come up and they get pay $7, and they might as well have paid $4. They should have just gotten $2 for $4, and it would be a little bit more. I don't, you know, it's wrong. They're right. I think they're right to be upset, and I guess that's why they filed the lawsuit, just to prove the point of, this is really stupid. Are you kidding me?
I go to some restaurants, and, you know, the people that want to have your business, they will figure out ways to make your weird requests happen without just going, oh, I guess I'll just charge the full amount bureaucratically, or whatever they do to skip out on actually, you know, really, really making sure their customer actually likes to be there and buy stuff from them.
That's what I think. I think the customer is king. And even if it gets on your nerves, if you're in that business, boy, I think you do whatever you can to keep the customer happy. And that's not going to keep them happy by exaggerating sizes and changing them. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. All right, here's one for you. Taco Bell. When you think of Taco Bell, you know, they're always coming up with these clever new tacos with crazy names and different things in the tacos. That seems to work well in a lot of cases. But now they're turning to something else. They've decided that customers can buy Taco Bell-themed socks because they partnered up with an apparel company, and they've got socks that have tacos, burritos, and tostados on them. So, Nathan, fruits and nuts, shredded or bingo?
Do they partner with Fruit of the Loom? I'm going to go with that.
Fruits and nuts.
Yeah.
Would you wear socks that had tacos, burritos, and tostadas on them?
Yeah, but not if there was a Taco Bell logo on it.
Yes, and there is a Taco Bell logo on it.
I would probably just get one of my, you know, hipster friends to make some.
Make some for you. There you
go.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty. I feel like they already have. Tacos are pretty popular in the world.
They are pretty popular in the world. There's no question about that. I would have to agree with Nathan. Fruits and nuts. I don't think I would wear, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't have a big hang-up about what I'm wearing, but I wouldn't wear it with the Taco Bell logo. There's just something about that that kind of creeps me out.
Well, it's more like, would you really buy it? Would you buy it?
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it.
There you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it. How many people would buy it? Yeah. How many people would buy it? That's the thing you got to think of. Because I just wouldn't. I would just probably get solid socks. I don't know. It just wouldn't be the thing that I would do. All right, this is crazy. This is a new study that just came out that says there's a good chance that rush hour traffic could increase your risk of heart disease. I think I can see why. Because then, well, they're saying the danger from car fumes, for one. They're saying how you get upset when people cut in and all that kind of stuff, and you're waiting. You get the road rage thing going on, that it increases the chances of you having a heart attack. What do you think, Nathan?
Easy. Bingo! Come on, all of our poor cortical, like, it's just, it's heavy, man. That's heavy. That's easy to see. It's happening.
I think so, too. I think the road rage is so up. I think people don't pay attention when they're driving because they're on the phone now and everything else. And it annoys other people who aren't. I think people, and not everywhere, because I've seen plenty of people that have let people in. Like you should, you know, when you have to merge, you let one car in, you go, and then another car comes in. But some people don't do that, and that gets people upset.
Well, you know, I think you're just paying attention to so much stuff that naturally creates kind of a stress,
tension.
Sympathetic, nervous system going on.
Yeah, it creates tension. You're tense. You're uptight. You're in a hurry or whatever. Luckily for us, woohoo, everybody listening to America Tonight, give yourself a pat on the back. Pat on the back. Can you hear me patting my back? Because guess what? We work on the ever-popular third shift, which they say now there's about 35 million people that do the so-called 35 million people plus. That's just in the United States that do the third shift thing where you're working late. So we don't have to deal with the traffic. We're not dealing with the rush hour traffic. And what's weird is when you're not used to dealing with rush hour traffic and then you have to go somewhere earlier, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, man, I can't believe how long rush hours are. And I'm saying even in small places, big places, rush hours. I don't know about all of you. I mean, here's a great question. What time does rush hour start in your neck of the woods? Does it start like around 3:30, 4 o'clock? What are people doing that the roads are jammed at 3:30, 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock at night or 6:30? That just doesn't make any sense to me. Stay with us. Great interview coming up. You do not want to miss Kevin Camp next.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hard to believe it's been 3 years since that tsunami, think about that, crippled a big chunk of Japan right there at Fukushima, and everything that's resonated with that power plant since then. We've talked about it along the way. Joining us in our virtual green room, we're hoping it doesn't blow away, is Kevin Camps from Beyond Nuclear. And there's so much to talk about with that horrible plant catastrophe that happened, and it continues to roll on. Kevin, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So now as we look at this 3 years later, what are your concerns in seeing what's happened with the reactor problem and then another reactor problem? What kind of a job, in other words, do you think the plant is doing after that initial accident with the tsunami?
Oh, it's an ongoing catastrophe for the ocean, for example. They're having 80,000 gallons of radioactive groundwater flowing into the Pacific Ocean every day that's radioactively contaminated. And just today, Tokyo Electric and its American advisor, a former chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission who we butted heads with a decade ago, named Dale Klein, he's a paid consultant now to Tokyo Electric, they floated a trial balloon today about releasing really millions of gallons of highly radioactive water that's currently stored on site there into the Pacific. So this is, you know, a catastrophe already for the ocean, and they want to make it a whole lot worse.
Wow. And there's a good reason. I mean, of course, we care about the people in Japan, but we should also be concerned just from, I think, the point of view on the West Coast, don't you, of the Pacific Ocean, and what's going to happen with that radiation. That's got to be a concern.
Yeah, it's ironic timing. Here we are on the third anniversary, and the oceanic plume is just arriving on the west coast of North America. So it's already reached the Canadian shores of the Gulf of Alaska. It'll probably reach Seattle next month and then work its way southward from there by summer. So, you know, bioconcentration of radioactive poison in the food chain is kind of the risk. And U.S. standards for food are 12 times weaker than Japan's. So we could be importing food that's unfit for human consumption in Japan in terms of radioactive contamination.
Wow, 12 times weaker?
Yeah, the numbers are 100 becquerels per kilogram in Japan. That's the permissible limit. Here it's 1,200.
Oh, that's awful. And so there are a couple of things to be concerned with, obviously. The water, obviously, the Pacific, and, of course, what we're talking about with food as well. And so when people hear this, because you know the tendency is, well, that happened in Japan, and it's terrible, and we feel awful. But, oh, it's a bunch of nonsense. They're trying to talk about what's happened with the plant and the radiation fears. I mean, these are real fears. You're going deep on this at Beyond Nuclear, aren't you?
Yeah, we're a watchdog on the nuclear power industry, mostly focused on the U.S. industry, and we have 23 identical twins to Fukushima Daiichi here in the United States. So remember, Fukushima Daiichi was a General Electric boiling water reactor of the Mark I design that melted down times three at units 1, 2, and 3. We have 23 of those, same vintage, identical design here in the United States, and our Nuclear Regulatory Commission is as much in collusion with our industry as the Japanese regulator was over there.
Wow, so 23, and when we look at those reactors, do you think people should be concerned after they're seeing this catastrophe with Tokyo Electric?
Well, you know, we're looking at 50-mile-an-hour winds here in Washington, D.C. tonight, and the power keeps going out. If you lose the electric grid at a nuclear power plant and the emergency diesel generators don't work, you are in a heap of trouble right away. That's exactly what happened at Fukushima Daiichi. It was an earthquake that took out the electric grid and a tsunami that took out the emergency diesel generators. There's so many pathways to catastrophe at U.S. reactors, be it a tornado, which has happened. There were Fukushima twins that got hit by a major tornado at Browns Ferry, Alabama, and, you know, by the skin of our teeth, by sheer luck, by the grace of God, they were able to get the emergency diesels running. But we have a long history in this country, 75 instances where emergency diesel generators were called upon, and they didn't work in the past decade or 15 years. And one of those examples in Ohio was a tornado strike on a nuclear power plant, and then the diesels didn't work. And they had a very dicey 48 hours at that plant. They had to keep bringing back to life the last remaining diesel generator, and it gave up the ghost just after they'd restored the electric grid. That's how close we came to a meltdown in Ohio in 1998.
Wow. And you know, when you talk about nuclear power and then you look at France, and they'll say, listen, this is what you should be doing because it's cleaner, it's safer, it's all these things, 1, 2, and 3. But that's not true when you scratch the surface. As you said, 75 instances is pretty frightening, I think, especially when you're just scraping by the skin of your teeth. Why don't people know more about this?
Well, the Prime Minister of Japan, who was serving during the Fukushima crisis, Naoto Kan, just said that the nuclear power industry in Japan is the most powerful political and economic lobby in their country. And I think the same can be said here in the United States. Certainly the nuclear industry is one of the biggest players in town in Washington, D.C. and at the national level. And part of that is a huge PR machine. And so they have a lot of money to throw at brainwashing people, especially locally. You know, a lot of times nuclear reactors are the biggest source of tax revenue for a county that hosts the reactors. You know, they throw their pocket change around, but it's the biggest charitable contributions to local nonprofits. They just kind of buy their way into acceptance in a community. So a lot of times it takes outsiders who are not on the take to raise a stink. And we're seeing that in places like Vermont, where the state of Vermont and the people of Vermont finally said, hey, look, we've had enough of this Fukushima twin, and it's going to be shut down by the end of this year, which is really good news.
And that was because the people were really diligent in pushing that and pushing that and checking safety and looking at numbers, right?
It was a 40-year campaign, all told.
Yeah.
Way before Fukushima, they got the state in the right place, and, you know, they prevailed.
There's definitely movement afoot to create more nuclear reactors, more nuclear power plants, I'll call them that. Do you think we'll see more of them in the United States?
Yeah, the industry calls it the nuclear renaissance, and we call it the nuclear relapse. And the only way that they've gotten away with even breaking ground for two new reactors in Georgia, two new reactors in South Carolina, is gouging the ratepayers. So you've got groups like ARP, which are up in arms because these retired people are not going to see 1 watt of electricity delivered to them before they pass away. It takes that long to build atomic reactors, and yet they're being charged. They've had a half dozen uprates on electricity bills in South Carolina in the past few years, and it's not even enough for the Georgia reactors. They've gone to the federal treasury. They've gotten loans and loan guarantees to the tune of $8.3 billion out of the Obama administration. This is just a money-making machine for these companies. They don't even care if they actually build the things as long as they're getting paid all this money.
But wait a second. I thought that the Obama administration was about green and alternatives.
It's a part of that lobbying power. I mean, I remember when Obama said, no lobbyists in my administration, we won't do business with lobbyists. Well, the nuclear lobby is alive and well in this country. They spend something like $1.5 million a week lobbying Congress and the White House. And this nuclear loan guarantee program is an example of that. Obama tried over and over again to majorly expand the amount of money involved. We're talking tens of billions of dollars. It was a tremendous grassroots victory that pushed that back. And once Fukushima went down, he didn't bring up these huge expansions anymore. But they did grant this $8.3 billion for two new reactors in Georgia. If it goes belly up, the American taxpayer gets left holding the bag.
Do you think it's one of those things where, okay, Fukushima, people take that to heart, but then there's other people's, like I said, well, that's in Japan, but, and I hope this never happens, but if we had another Three Mile Island or whatnot, or we saw some kind of a catastrophe, would that be the only way to really take this down?
I hope and pray not. That's our job on a daily basis, is to try to prevent nuclear catastrophes. But, you know, the power of this industry, they have done all they can to, you know, suppress the truth in Japan, suppress the truth in Chernobyl, even suppress the truth at Three Mile Island. It's always a battle to get the truth out. And, you know, one of the myths is that no one died at Three Mile Island. Here we come up on the 35th anniversary of the Three Mile Island meltdown later this month. Believe you me, if you talk to people who live downwind and downstream of Three Mile Island, there is an epidemic of cancer. There's epidemiological studies like Steve Wing at University of North Carolina who found increases in things like lung cancer immediately directly downwind where the radioactive plumes would have traveled at Three Mile Island.
Wow. Kevin Camps, Beyond Nuclear, thanks for coming on the show. If somebody wants more information on what you guys do, where do they go?
Yeah, our website is www.beyondnuclear.org.
All right, keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Bye-bye.
I'm waking up, the action does. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3 120-count soft gels, only $9. $20. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.